The national debt is a hot topic on Capitol Hill and across the nation as we've reached and passed a debt ceiling of more than $14 trillion. Republicans say they have the answer to correct government spending with a plan by House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan, while Democrats have yet to offer a counterplan. But both parties voted against raising the debt ceiling in the House without a spending restraining plan in place. Presidential primary candidates are designing their campaigns around the economy.
When he was still considering jumping into the race, Indiana Republican Governor Mitch Daniels even said he was willing to call a truce on social issues in order to focus on the economy.
Tara Sinclair is the co-director of the Research Program on Forecasting at George Washington University. She specializes in studying past economic situations to predict future economic activity. She says the current economy is unprecedented. When compared with the Great Depression, the current economic situation is missing the kickstart that World War II gave the economy back then.
Normally, shortly after a recession is over, we see a strong recovery, and the government then sees a strong increase in tax revenues coming in just simply because people's incomes are going up and therefore they're paying more in taxes. And unfortunately, this time around, because we've kind of seen a sluggish recovery, they haven't seen the tax revenues increase, which is why we're still seeing deficits even, you know, a year, 2 years after a recession is over.
She says this year the deficit is predicted to reach $1.4 trillion, or 10% of the nation's GDP. In 2005, the Congressional Budget Office said, quote, "Persistently large federal deficits can erode the growth of future living standards by reducing national saving, which slows the accumulation of wealth and degrading economic performance. The large deficit can mean fewer benefits and higher taxes for young Americans in the future. But are those Americans worried about the consequences of choices made by politicians today?" Bonnie Christian is the Director of Communications of Young Americans for Liberty, a youth movement with 220 chapters established at colleges across the nation. Christian says she has found that the national debt is the biggest political issue on students' minds. Our Time is another organization that was formed to educate today's young Americans and voice the concerns of those who are relatively new to the voting scene, namely Americans under 30. Co-founder Jarrett Moreno says the problem of the rising national debt bypasses partisanship, and he encourages young Americans to find their own voice.
From such an early age, you're co-opted into being a young Democrat or a young Republican, or I'm from the North or I'm from the South. And rarely do we have a chance to actually voice our own opinions, whether it's to our friends and our family or to a politician, and say, I'm going to talk this out and figure out where I actually do stand on this issue.
Both Christian and Moreno say young Americans will be the ones who pay the nation's bill. Moreno says young Americans represent a strong voting power, and their voices need to be heard in the debates going on now.
We're a generation of more than 50 million people. Just the 18 group, 18 to 35, there are 70 million of us. So when you think about the fact that there are only slightly over 200 million, about 210 million eligible voters, that's a huge group of the voter pool that is often not even included in conversations.
Christian agrees, saying that young Americans aren't necessarily being considered in the conversation.
It is going to be the young people who are going to be stuck with the bill, even though we're not the ones who did the vast majority of the spending. And, you know, it's always easier to spend someone else's money irresponsibly.
At the same time, Moreno says there are obstacles for young Americans to get involved in the conversation.
Our generation is a very service-oriented generation. We're very volunteer-oriented. We're applying to AmeriCorps and Teach for America and City Year at record numbers. But we don't necessarily take that same transition to civic life, into policy, and making sure that we're paying attention, because we haven't connected civic participation and voting as a service, and we haven't seen how it affects us.
Moreno says another obstacle is that college students may be more concerned with microeconomics rather than the long-term effects that the deficit will have on their generation.
Young people right now are graduating into one of the worst job markets since the Great Depression. The Wall Street Journal just came out last week saying that we are at our highest student loan debt ever. This current graduating class, the class of 2011, is $23,000 per student. We have average credit card debt of around $3,000 per 24-year-old. So we're staggered with all this personal debt. And most young people don't even have the luxury of thinking about the deficit and how it affects them and what the long-term implications are.
As seen with these two organizations, however, there is a group of young Americans that is paying very close attention to the issues at hand. Moreno encourages those people to find an organization like Our Time, which he calls a microphone for the voices of that generation.
A lot of young people, no one's really educating them on these issues. If you go to the average young person, or probably the average American, and talk about entitlements or talk about financial literacy. They don't even know what these words necessarily mean. So I think that the organizations like Our Time has a responsibility. I think that education institutions have a responsibility. I think the media has a responsibility. I think politicians have a responsibility to make sure they're speaking to young people and actually educating them on these issues.
As we approach the presidential primaries, Tara Sinclair says there are certain characteristics young Americans should look for in a candidate.
I think the key thing for young people to be looking at in terms of economic policies are things that are going to truly generate great wealth in our economy, and those are generally things that are going to stimulate innovation. So we're wanting to find policies where we can educate our workforce, support new ideas and new businesses coming into being, and that's really the way to create jobs and to have a bright future for the new generations coming into the labor force.
It is clear that the national debt is a concern for young Americans and that their voices are getting stronger in the discussions of how to move our country forward. Reporting for Radio America, this is Brittany Brady.